Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. Feeling great.
How's your weekend? You had a good Memorial Day?
I did. Yeah, I got a lot of things done around the house. Spent a ton of time outside. It was so nice.
I know. It's perfect.
Yeah.
90s every day.
It was great.
Just like Kansas, right?
Just like Kansas, without the wind. Loving it. Also loving our show this morning, Lee, because we've had folks on here from Atlanta's Best and Brightest before, and they've kind of talked a little bit about the organization and about the contest and about the big event that's coming up. But this morning, Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For, which is an award competition providing businesses in the community with this opportunity to gain recognition and really showcase their businesses, we have some of the winners here today. Now, this is not just a regular best of contest or best of type program, because the program provides year-long education and lots of benchmarking and assessment tools, and we have the best and brightest in the room today. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Brad Dodge of Dodge Communications. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You know, when I walked in, it did seem a little bit brighter in here, and, you know, everybody's looking great. But tell us, Brad, what is your business and how did you decide to participate in this?
Our business is called Dodge Communications. It's a public relations and marketing services firm based in Roswell, and we serve the healthcare business-to-business community. We wanted to get involved because we're a pretty small company, but we think we've done some aggressive things around human resources and benefits, and we wanted to kind of shine a light on that and use it as an opportunity to attract some of the better talent in the area.
How did you find out about the Best and Brightest? Because it's new to Atlanta. I mean, this is the first year. They've been in other cities, but it's the first year in Atlanta.
You know, we do a lot of, because we're a small company, we do a lot of awards type of programs and competition for the work that we do in PR and design work. And this was just kind of came up as in the search of award competition type programs that we could participate in. And it was really interesting to us and something that we had never done before.
Now, so as part of your PR platform for other clients, you use awards as one of the ways to kind of get the word out about them?
Absolutely. A lot of the work we do is in the healthcare technology space, and some of the companies are small and emerging, and for them to be able to win the coveted industry awards is a big credibility builder for them and for their brand, and so we do a lot of that kind of work for our clients as well.
So you're saying that your employees are the key to your success. Walk us through a little bit of the recognition and how you might go about rewarding your employees within your organization.
Do you have awards for your company? Is there Dodge Awards?
Not really so much. We try to, you know, we compete, because we're a small company, we compete for talent with some much larger companies in the area. And, you know, to be able to attract really great talent is something you have to have a good program for. And then once you have the great talent, they're easily recruited away by companies that have more aggressive type of programs and better, you know, HR and benefit programs for the employees. We really don't want that to happen, because when we get great talent on board, we want to be able to keep them for a long time. So we've really tried to develop programs that are competitive, you know, really employee minded and competitive with the, you know, what the larger companies would be offering. So that's how we got involved.
And you started the company?
I did.
How long ago?
10 years ago.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
10 years.
So how have you seen the PR landscape change in 10 years?
Well, now everything is about social media now, and for the last 3 or 4 years, it's been an absolute sea change, complete transformation of the industry. I can't imagine what we talked about before social media happened. So
are your customers open to this change, or are they still wanting to do things the old way?
Good question. And because most of our work is in the business-to-business space, the clients were kind of slow coming. They didn't really understand the value of social media programs as it relates to getting the word out about their company. And so it's been an uphill battle, but everybody's really coming around now.
And what kind of goals do you have for your company? And maybe walk us through a success story of how you've helped a client.
Our goals, we have some pretty aggressive growth goals. Because we work in the healthcare space, there's a lot of light shining on that space now at all levels, the federal level, even the world stage is all about healthcare and how that works. And so it's a good opportunity for us by having 10 years experience in the business to be able to really kind of highlight the successes that we've had and the brands that we've helped build through, you know, through our work in PR and marketing communications.
Great. And you talk a little bit about work-life balance. Sounds like you've got a pretty good finger on that.
Well, I think, you know, in companies that I've worked for in the past, it probably hasn't been, you know, the advertising and PR agency business is not one that really is traditionally known for work-life balance. The general consensus is to bring the college grads in when they're, you know, right out of school and work them until their eyes bleed and then keep them until 11 o'clock at night. And when they quit, just go find some more that are ready to start working again. And I just generally think that that's not really the way to recruit great people and not really, definitely not the way to retain great people. So work-life balance has been important to me since the very beginning. And I think it's a great way to show your employees that you care about their life. And if you do it right, in our opinion, it will give you the opportunity to be able to keep these rising stars as your company grows and they can grow with you along the way. They're never going to really be recruited away for some other company that might have a better benefits or a HR kind of program.
How do you go about creating that culture? I mean, the work-life balance is part of it, but it sounds like you have definitely created a culture over the last 10 years. How do you go about that?
Well, I mean, I kind of live it that way. Mm-hmm. And I encourage all of our managers to really kind of embrace that philosophy and get out of the office at 6 o'clock and really try not to work on the weekends unless it's absolutely necessary to meet a client objective. And, you know, it turns into the way that you organize yourself and organize your work around those kind of disciplines and around those objectives. That's really what it comes down to at the end.
So you started out, though, in working for somebody else before you started this firm. Is that right?
Yes.
So when you were developing the firm, was that an important component for you to develop a culture, or did it just kind of organically happen?
Didn't even consider it in the beginning at all. But, you know, as you get somebody, a really talented person, and you kind of look at it and you say, how do we make sure that we keep this person forever? And that's one of the first things that happens. You try to have an outstanding benefits program and a really great work-life balance and just the kinds of things that make people want to come to work and want to stay and enjoy the environment that they're in and not get recruited away from another company.
Mm-hmm. So how does an award like Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For help set the stage for your company's future?
Well, it's the first time we've ever got any kind of recognition like this. And what was interesting is, as we went through the application process, it really opened our eyes. We never thought that we would have qualified to win because there was just so many things that companies are doing around, you know, everything from, you know, community service programs and kind of committee type programs. There was so much on that list that I was, you know, kind of saddened about and said, we got a long way to go before we qualify here. So really thrilled to be here and realize that what we are doing does make a difference, and it is a good program that we offer. But the application process opened our eyes to say that there's so much more we can do, and we're kind of using it as a benchmark to kind of continue to develop the programs even further as we move forward.
Terrific. Now, if there's someone listening that wants to contact you and thinks that you may be able to help them with their PR, how can they reach you?
They can reach us at dodgecommunications.com, or our main phone number is 770-998-0500.
Terrific. And who are you looking to talk to? I mean, are they physicians' practices? I mean, you talked about the healthcare space, but define that a little bit for us.
Well, it's actually companies that service the space. So, for example, a software company that's going to be selling their systems into physician practices, mm-hmm. those are really who our clients are. So it's helping our clients reach the physician practices, the hospitals, the payers. That's really who our clients are.
And that's getting harder and harder to do. I would imagine your service is definitely needed.
It's very important, and you know, the companies of all sizes need to have PR and marketing communications at some level.
Wonderful.
And your website one more time?
www.dodgecommunications.com.
Perfect. Thanks for being our guest this morning, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, we'll see you at the event on June 20th.
Definitely.
It's going to be a great event.
Yeah,
Lee.
A lot of movers and shakers.
That's right. And a lot of human resource folks that really know what they're doing and creating a happy environment for their employees. I love that. Next up this morning, we have Chris Ranking. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from JBN Consultant.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us first about JBN Consulting.
Well, JBN Consulting is a management, technology, and strategy firm that's focused on solving local Atlanta clients' most difficult problems.
Like? You can't just say most difficult problems. You know I'm going to say
it's like
what?
Lack of coffee in the coffee room? Because that's some people's biggest problem.
Well, it's typically very strategic. It's whether it's pricing optimization, market analysis, sales processes, re-engineering of processes to save money, or it's how to use technology to better service their clients.
Wow, that's a pretty big spectrum of things.
It is.
So walk us through what maybe a day in your life would be like at work.
Well, a day in my life would typically start fairly early in the morning, but would be focused primarily on delivery, client delivery oversight, making sure that our on-site consultants are providing the highest value to our clients, and that's either through the right facilitation of strategic problems, or it may be looking at very complex processes, how to streamline processes to save money.
So you work with a company for just a small period of time, or is it an ongoing?
Well, we typically will start on very short engagements, mm-hmm. short being 1 to 3 months, but most of our clients have engaged us for very long periods of time. We are typically very, very bad salespeople, and over 80% of our recurring revenue comes from extensions of projects and longer-term partnering with our clients.
What is the initial pain that your clients are having that they say, you know, we got to call JBN?
Well, in the last few years, it was primarily focused on cost reduction. So how can we do more with less? Really, over the course of the last 12 to 18 months, we've seen much more around how to gain market share as we start to pull out of this economic problem that we've been in over the last few years.
And I hear you treat your employees very well and have all kinds of programs in place. Tell us a little bit about your community service and your involvement with non-for-profits.
Well, we have been very focused from day one in attracting and retaining the absolute best of the best, which to do that means that we had to have outstanding programs both from a benefits and from a career development and from a type of work and life balance perspective. And we really call it career-life balance. We do a great deal of work in the community. We actually have a formal 501c3 called JBN Cares, which we launched about 2 years ago. And that's an employee-led organization that focuses on keeping very whether it's business or whether it's pure philanthropic charity in the Georgia market.
Walk us through an example of that. I mean, is it hands-on type of community involvement, or is it all financial contributions?
It's a combination of both. So our employees actually fund the organization, and then we'll make requests of the org to support different charities that are top of their mind and that they are passionate about. And that could be from a financial perspective, but most of the time it's actual volunteer hours and a combination of financial and resource time. We do a lot also with the nonprofit business community. So we'll do a lot of work in strategic planning, working with organizations to figure out how they should position themselves and how they can best serve their particular markets.
What was the Heart Healthy Challenge?
Well, the Healthy Heart Challenge.
Heart
Challenge was something that we started this year, and it's an opportunity for all of our employees to take advantage of some of the health and wellness programs that we have internal to JBN, but to also raise money so that we support 5 different heart-specific charities. And it's a way for us to all give back and to get a little healthier in the process.
How do you choose the charities? Is it something that the company as a whole kind of votes on, or do people come to you? I'm sure they come to you all the time.
Well, for the JBN Cares work, it is charities that our employees are passionate about, mm-hmm. and they'll make requests of the entire organization. For the Healthy Heart Challenge, we developed a list of different institutions that are all focused on heart-related health concerns. And then we down-selected that with our employees and picked the top five so that the organization as a whole could spend time raising money for those particular charities.
And why did you decide to participate in Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For competition?
Well, you know, we actually took a look at some of the winners from the other markets, and we also looked at the qualifications and said that this is a great opportunity for us to showcase some of the programs that we've really been focused on developing over the last 5 years.
And how stringent was this process? I mean, walk us through maybe some of the things that they walked you through as part of the process.
Sure. Well, a lot of the awards that we have won in the past have really been focused on employee and employee survey and getting employee feedback. And clearly the best and the brightest, there was that component. But they'd also looked at a number of the eight, what I consider to be HR programs that we put in place to facilitate that career-life balance that that has been so successful for us.
And do you really think your employees are the key to your success? I know a lot of people say that, but maybe give us an
it's
example.
It's really Chris. I mean, Chris is a sharp guy.
Chris is
They're
a
all
very
riding
sharp
his
guy.
Coattails.
I appreciate
right?
that.
But really, I mean, how do you go about showing that? Because you can say that, and you can try to create a culture like we were hearing from a little bit ago from Brad. But how do you really go about showing your employees that you care?
Well, from the very beginning, we sat down and said, how are we going to attract the right folks to deliver on the kind of client value that we have been focused on? And when doing so, we realized that culture was going to be extremely important for JBN. And we have put together very active plans and programs that balance culture with our client demands. And that's everything from targeting the right clients, picking the right types of work, really focusing on career development versus just coming to work in a job. And we've brought a lot of folks that have traveled for the bulk of their careers into JBN, and we have oftentimes had to tell them, you need to get out of work. You need to reestablish a network. You need to find balance in your life. So we do live by it, but we also encourage it through our annual reviews. We have very active mentoring programs. We have very active career development programs, all that are structured on culture and employee development.
Wonderful. And what were you doing before? Were you a co-founder of JBN, right?
I am, yes.
What were you doing before?
Well, I was in Big Four Consulting. I spent many years focused on very large-scale projects that spent a lot of time outside of Atlanta, mm-hmm. So a lot of time traveling. And it was nice to establish a firm that's just focused on delivering high value to Atlanta clients.
Now, when you made the switch from the big firm to your own firm, was that something you were consciously going to do? Because, like, I do not want to do what they're doing. I am going to do it this way. This is the right way in my mind.
Yeah, for years I had grown up in Big Four consulting, and the nature of that industry had changed quite a bit. So as we started JBN, we sat down and said, what are our core values? How do we want to build a firm that can deliver client value but do so giving employees the opportunity to actually have a balanced life? So it was really part of our day one planning and has been ever since.
But that's a big shift in thinking.
It is.
That's not how it's normally done.
That's correct. And it has been difficult at times. We do put almost extreme emphasis on employee satisfaction, which, sometimes that balancing the economics and the client delivery can be a challenge, but it's always been core to who we are and what we do.
With the economy, I know sometimes people scale back on benefits or they scale back on certain things. How do you go about scaling back on some things but continuing to motivate and offer things to your employees?
Well, we've been very fortunate that we have grown quite a bit year over year. And as such, looking at our employees as our highest value asset, we have put plans in place that really fund the employee-type programs above all else. So we haven't had to scale back in terms of employee satisfaction, employee retention, building employee careers, et cetera.
And how long ago did you co-found the company?
About 5.5 years ago.
And how much growth have you seen?
Well, we started with three, and we have, I think, 68 right now.
Wow.
Can you talk a little bit about when that first person you hired that was not a founder, that was a huge decision. And what was the kind of the criteria and the thinking of when you're going to bring in kind of a stranger who wasn't kind of indoctrinated into your way of thinking? What was that like?
Well, we were fortunate in that our first set of employees we had worked with for years. And so we knew them. We knew the type of works that they were comfortable with. But we also knew that we really needed to be aggressive with programs that could compete with Big Four. So whether that's benefits or whether that's career development or training, you know, to attract those folks, they were used to a certain standard that we had to be able to offer. And so when we brought on our first employee, we had to get very serious about, well, this isn't just a risk for us. Now we have to be very structured in how we deliver value to our employees as well.
And you offer all kinds of great things, massages, boot camp, Pilates. I mean, I want to come work with you.
Hey, come on.
That sounds incredible. I
know.
Like
when
that.
When are we going to start doing that here?
Yes. Come on, Lee.
You're
when are we going to start?
Pilates.
I'll do the Pilates, but, you know, we've got to have someone come in for a massage.
Maybe we need a consultant.
Yeah, well.
I think we do. I definitely think we do. Wow. Great information, Chris. I can see why you've been chosen as one of the best and brightest in Atlanta. And I look forward to seeing you on June 20th at the big event.
Great. I look forward to it as well. Thank
Give
you.
Give us your company information one more time, your website, and how folks can reach you.
Sure. You can reach us through our website, which is www.jabian.com, and that's jabian.com.
Wonderful. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
Something tells me Chris is pretty busy, too. He's got three young boys, and he's probably on the go a lot. But what a great place to work. Our next guest this morning is Holly Bale with Kelly Services. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Holly, tell us about Kelly Services and what brings you here.
Well, there's a lot to tell you about Kelly Services. Kelly has been in business since 1946. We were the innovator of the whole staffing industry, and we're headquartered just outside of Detroit in Troy, Michigan. And Kelly has grown significantly over the years. Most people remember Kelly Services as the Kelly Girl. Well, we have evolved from that type of brand. And today, a lot of people just don't realize we're a global company. We're in 38 countries. We employ over 100,000 people a day. We do everything from disciplines in science, IT, finance, law, and design a lot of customized outsourced workforce solutions for organizations. We also work with 95% of the Fortune 100 companies in the U.S.
I remember the Kelly Girl. Do you remember?
Yeah, that was that a difficult change for the company? Have you been with them a long time?
I've been with Kelly for over 9 years now.
Wow.
And so, yes, it is.
That was a big brand. That was like they were known as that. And now,
absolutely.
Now they're like, well, that's not going to work anymore. So we got to change gears here.
What's, you know, interesting about Kelly as an organization is that that brand has stayed in place. And it's great because we are a brand name in our industry. But with that being said, our company has never spent a lot of focus on the marketing because our brand is so good. However, now that we, you know, continue to grow and we have so many different disciplines, we get very focused and strategic on getting ourselves in the right communities and how we're advertising.
Right.
As an example, last week there was a CIO forum that took place here in Atlanta, and we sponsored the event. And so that way it gave us an opportunity to do a lot of more local networking and discussions to get our brand out.
Now, do you find that people are like, when you say that we used to be Kelly Girls, so like they don't connect that Kelly was Kelly Girl?
Well, oftentimes when I'm meeting with a prospective client, I like to start the conversation by asking, so what do you know about Kelly?
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of times people will say, oh, Kelly Girl, or you know what, I got my first job from Kelly Services when I got out of college. And just an interesting fact that I find humorous, when we think about a Kelly Girl, Jean Simmons from KISS was a Kelly Girl.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. Yeah, so we have a lot of people people that work for us.
Yeah, a lot of different types of industries too, it sounds like. And you've been in the staffing business a long time.
Yes, for over 20 years. Wow. I started when I was 4.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must have. And what are some of the big changes you've seen in your industry?
Because when you look at contingent workforce solutions, it has expanded from just being something that's being done domestically, that's global. I know when I started in my career, I worked for a regional company that was headquartered in Atlanta. Great company, but we were designing more local and regional solutions. And I knew that the companies that I was designing workforce solutions with, they were much larger than that. And so when I came to work for Kelly, it was really looking at somebody that was more sophisticated in this particular industry and space, and that we could design, better solutions that were far reaching. And Kelly provides me that opportunity to do so.
I find it interesting that a company like yours would participate in Best and Brightest of Atlanta. What made y'all decide to compete?
Great question. For me, being the leader for both Atlanta and another city, Kelly does a great job as far as getting involved with national programs. Last year, we won an industry-specific award for both our clients and our candidates. However, I think in a local landscape, it's very important that you brand yourself. And that's something I was very interested in doing this year, is that when people think of Kelly, they're probably thinking of something very large. And I want people to know here in Atlanta, we've been in this marketplace for 50 years. Wow. We are very local. I'm a native Georgian. And so, being able to brand ourselves as best and brightest, and also within our very competitive landscape, I think this is a nice differentiator for us.
Now, as your job in Kelly, is that part of your responsibility is to kind of get local and to kind of be the face of Kelly for a lot of different organizations? And
absolutely.
Like,
she's a much cuter Kelly girl than Gene Simmons. I gotta
thank
hand
you.
It to you. So what are some of the surveys or measurements that your company uses to measure employee engagement and satisfaction?
We look at employee engagement on two different levels. We'll look at both our internal employees and then our external employees, being our contingent workforce. 3 years ago, we adopted, it's called NPS, which is a Net Promoter Score. And we learned of this program through the Ritz-Carlton. A lot of our executives spent time on the service side that the Ritz-Carlton delivers, and we really liked it. And so we learned how they do their own internal measures. And so we adopted the NPS program. And it's really nice to be able to see through surveys how employees view Kelly Services. And one of the biggest things that we look at is, would they refer another person to our organization? And we score better than all of our competitors in our industry in these categories. So it's something that we're very proud of and excited about.
Did that survey open up any surprises in there that you thought, like, oh, I'm a little nervous about asking this question? And,
Well, anytime you do a survey, you're going to find something, some suspicions will be confirmed. Others, you're going to learn, something new. And then, yes, there a wart will come out, something that you're a little disappointed in. But with that gives you a great opportunity to ask yourselves, okay, we're not doing so great here. So we really need to examine and do some root cause analysis to determine, what are we missing here? And what programs or things could we be doing differently to leverage a better score?
Interesting. So, and what are some of the innovative ideas that Kelly Services has used over the last, say, 5 years?
Well, a couple of the things that I really enjoy that our marketing group have put together, coupled with our HR group, is an idea hub. And this is on our intranet. And the idea hub is used for all of our internal employees to really think through and to be able to give their thoughts, ideas, and opinions on things that they think could enhance and make our company a better organization. Two things that came from that was, number one, employees wanted an option to purchase more vacation time. And now they have that opportunity to purchase up to 2 more weeks of vacation. So that's really nice. Another idea that came out that went into action was, for our industry being in service, we are always open the day after Thanksgiving. And a lot of our employees really wanted that day off as well. And, you know, there was a lot of thought put into it simply because how many of our clients are actually open and, in, you know, need our services. And so today, for the third year in a row, we have the day after Thanksgiving. And let me just tell you, for being
but
in
you
this
have to work on Thanksgiving? Is that the trade-off?
As a woman, I do work on Thanksgiving in the
yes,
kitchen.
She does. That's right. She deserves that day after Thanksgiving off.
But it's nice to now have that. A lot of our clients have always had it. Now we have it. So that's, again, great ideas coming from our workforce.
I love that. So what does it mean to you personally, being the leader in Atlanta and both professionally, to be selected as a winner of this year's Best and Brightest Companies to Work for in Atlanta?
When we had learned we were a winner, I was very excited because this is something that was important to me that we get involved in. And, you know, having our workforce in Atlanta surveyed and seeing that based on the surveys that they participated in, that we were selected, there was a tremendous sense of satisfaction. And so I immediately sent an email out to the group, and they were very proud as well. And I think it's, you know, important today. A lot of people have talked about retention. You want your workforce to be excited about coming into work every day. I'm a firm believer people don't quit companies, people quit people. And by creating a culture that they're proud of and excited to talk about their organization and wanting to refer other people to us, I think this really helps solidify who we are as an organization.
No doubt. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And give us your website information and how folks can reach you.
Individuals can go to www.kellyservices.com. And to reach me here in the local Atlanta area, my direct number is 678-319-4489.
Now, is there any groups you're looking for right now? Is there any sectors that are hot?
Great question. For us, we really took a lot of time to think about. We're not trying to be everything to everybody. So we have really thought about what we're good at in our sweet spots. Companies that have contact centers and looking for professionals in that space, we do a phenomenal job with. We also are very strong in both finance, IT, science, and engineering. So if individuals, you know, have upcoming projects, they're, you know, finding it difficult to attract great talent, we do a wonderful job at being able to find, I would say, you know, A-type individuals to come into your organizations.
Wonderful.
Right.
Thanks for being our guest this morning, Holly.
Thank you.
Great information. You think about it. I mean, the staffing company has got to have gone through a lot of changes, especially in 20 years.
Yeah.
Great company. Sounds like a wonderful company to work for. This next company, I think I'd like a job there just because of what they sell. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We have Brittany and Rick from Quality Wine and Spirits. Welcome.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Lee.
Hey.
Good morning. So, yeah, we came in and Lee said, what, no samples? But it is a little early, but it's happy hour somewhere, right?
Sure is. 5 o'clock somewhere.
So I got to ask you, because with the recession and things, they say that there are two businesses that were recession-proof, and maybe it's just my friends, but it was for women, cosmetics, and then the wine and spirits. Have you noticed that?
It's been relatively recession-proof. I think that one of the dynamics is that people are trading down a bit. They're buying products. Maybe they went from $24.99 to $19.99, but the volume is still there.
Have you tried smaller bottles? Just keep the price the same. Just make the bottles
smaller. I'm convinced they're getting smaller, and the glasses are getting bigger.
May want to think about that.
Maybe it's just my glass. Maybe it's being filled or overfilled. So tell us about Quality Wine and Spirits.
Quality Wine and Spirits is a dynamic and leading-edge wholesale distributor in the state of Georgia. We work in an exciting industry. It's such full of culture, history, and amazing products from all over the world.
And how do you go about choosing the product? I mean, there's a lot of different folks out there. Do you have to taste them all?
A lot of sampling, huh?
A lot of sampling. We have a really talented group of sales professionals that probably average about 10 or 15 years. In the business, some quite a bit more. But we have a tasting panel, and we want to make sure that we fit the niche opportunities on our book to the need in the market. So we talk to our customers. We engage our customers and make sure that we vet products to make sure that we can partner with our suppliers as well. So it's a has to be a win-win.
Right.
So do you have a location where folks like me can come and shop, or is it all just selling to folks like restaurants and bars?
We sell to licensed accounts. That's a
Georgia
regulations. There's a whole set of it's a compendium of regulations.
And you can help us get a license if we need one.
We can put you in contact with a consultant.
Maybe that would be a really nice employment perk for me, Lee.
A liquor license?
Give me my liquor license. So tell us about your clients. I mean, how do you reach them? And you're known for exceptional service, but maybe walk us through an example of a client and how you service them.
Well, we have a sales force of sales reps and managers, upwards of 40 people, that target on and off premises, on-premise being restaurants, off being the retailers and the chain stores. But they are equipped with a sales portfolio and their life experience of wine, their passion for wine. And there is some cold calling, some opening of new accounts, but it's establishing relationships in the market, maintaining those relationships, and partnering with accounts. Anybody with a license is a potential account, and we're very keen to make sure that that we are targeting accounts that we believe will benefit from the vast array of wine and spirits we have in our portfolio.
Do you have a lot of turnover? Because any kind of sales job is tough, but how do you keep those folks from getting burned out?
We don't. We have a very high retention rate. Mm-hmm. Many of our employees, from drivers to top managers in our company, are still with us from when the company was started in 1999. It's the culture that we have created. We have a very fun work environment.
What's an example of a fun work environment? What do you guys are doing to make it fun?
Well, not drinking.
we wouldn't think that.
It's just, I think everybody, we hire nice people, and then we all learn our skill sets, and we bring a great culture to Quality Wine and Spirits from the top management. When I say fun, I think people truly, truly enjoy coming to work there. Our drivers enjoy our customers. They enjoy going to see every customer. We enjoy the vendors that we do business with from all over the world. We just are all, it's been great people all around.
Now, when you won this award, how'd you guys celebrate?
We haven't celebrated yet. We're still planning the celebration.
Yeah, you have until June 20th, right?
That's right.
Then you can come up with the big celebration. So is there room for advancement and promotion within your company? Because I know sometimes that's one of the reasons people hang on.
Sure there is. I started as a sales rep with the company, and I'm the vice president of operations. We had many people advance through the ranks. I think that we're still a relatively young business. We've been in business for 12 years. We've grown exponentially. We're still on a growing curve. Although it slowed a bit, we still have room for creative contribution within the company, people who will take charge of and perform their own jobs, but then look to see how else they can contribute. And I think that that's really important, something that, a person can be introspective and say, how can I add value? What else can I do? What are my strengths?
Do you have an example of that, and maybe an employee that kind of went above and beyond?
Certainly. Our business is very, there's a lot of impulse buying. So a person can contribute by partnering with a retailer to make the product jump off the shelf, create a very colorful and enticing point-of-sale material.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have a structured point-of-sale template and system, but I think that evolved through a process of improvements and the creative contributions of some of our talented employees. So it's something that's actually copied by a lot of other wholesalers in the market.
Mm-hmm. And I understand Georgia is highly competitive when it comes to wine and spirits as far as wholesalers. What do y'all do to kind of stand out among the competitors?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's our people. One of our taglines is fine wine, artisan spirits, great people, and exceptional service. And this encapsulates our core. Not only are our sales reps among the most experienced, but they but they recognize the importance of establishing professional relationships with their clients to become true partners in success.
That's great. That means a lot, definitely, and that relationship part is key, I would imagine, in any kind of business, but particularly in yours where it is very competitive. So tell us, why did y'all decide to compete and participate in Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For?
Whose bright idea was that?
The bright idea, it was Joe Best, who is the president.
So he found it, and he's like, hey, make this happen. Make us win.
Sort of.
Well, as much as anything, I think it's to recognize the dedication and effort of our employees. If we become one of Atlanta's best and brightest, that's a moniker that everybody can wear on their lapel and be proud of that. Hold their heads high. It'll also help us to attract great talent going forward.
Absolutely. And what have you found to be the most eye-opening in the process? Because there's a lot that goes into it. You're not just suddenly the best and brightest. What have you found to be maybe the most enlightening or the most eye-opening?
For me, I think when the process started, when we had to send out the surveys and the employees were receiving the surveys, they were excited. They wanted to share the news and the their experience as being an employee at Quality Wine and Spirits. So I had multiple employees come in and tell me and even wanted to give me a copy of the survey so they could see, so I could see, you know, their answers and stuff.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. So they took ownership and they were proud to be participating?
For sure.
Because you have a tough job in human resources of any kind of salespeople. They've all got personalities. Those salespeople.
They do.
Why can't they be more like human resource people, right?
Because they're salespeople.
All right. So give our listeners information again about your company in case there's someone listening out there. We've got a lot of folks that have been on the show that own restaurants. And
that's right. How many restaurants have we had through the doors here?
I love to eat and drink. So when that comes across the desk from a PR perspective, I always kind of itemize them by
cut the line, don't they?
Yes, very quickly. So give us your contact information, Brittany and Rick.
Our website is www.qwine.com, and our phone number is 404-367-9463.
Terrific.
And the website, did you say it?
www.qwine.com.
Excellent. Congratulations, y'all, and thanks for being our guest today, and we'll see you on June 20th at the event.
Thank you
so much.
Definitely looking forward to it. Seems to be a common theme here, Lee. Everybody's talking about how wonderful their employees are, and their employees are talking about how wonderful their companies are. I love that. Next up this morning is Liz, who is with Fitzgerald & Company. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning. Thank you.
So tell us about Fitzgerald & Company. I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, well, we hope so.
You better have.
No doubt. Fitzgerald & Company is a full-service advertising agency, of course, based here in Atlanta. But we service local clients, national clients, and even some international clients. We are part of an international holding company. So we actually have sister agencies across the world in all the various marketing disciplines.
That's a big company. They have a huge presence in Atlanta. How many employees do y'all have locally?
I believe right now we have about 120.
Okay. And what types of clients are you servicing?
We have a wide range of clients, and many times certain advertising agencies can be known for, you know, a particular niche that they excel in. Mm-hmm. We happen to be very much a generalist, and we work with clients in everything from home products to banking, financial, to packaged goods. So a lot of fun things to work on without being stuck with kind of the same old challenge and problem all the time.
So you're the chief media officer. I bet that that title didn't exist 10 years ago, or did it?
There was less media.
There was a lot less media.
To be chief over.
My job was a lot easier when I first started in this business. Yes, you know, we changed it. It used to be, you know, media director or media planner, but these days everybody talks about engagement. Mm. So we could typically change that to chief engagement officer because it really is just continued fragmentation and realizing that everything that we touch communicates. So it's not so much just media that you think of, but every single touch point.
But then we have all those acronyms, and if you were the chief engagement officer, then there'd be two CEOs. So,
I know. It's just fancy title changing. So we tried to keep it pretty simple and straightforward, as is our nature.
And how long have you been with Fitzgerald & Company?
I've been there 20 years.
Wow.
Goodness. Are you kidding?
I know. I look so much younger.
20 years at one place. Is that unusual for Fitzgerald?
You know, it's not unusual for Fitzgerald & Company, although it is unusual for our industry.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real tribute to the founders of the agency who, from the get-go, said that we are not going to take ourselves seriously. You know, we are a very creative-driven industry, and there can be a lot of egos, mm-hmm. wanting self-recognition and importance. And our founder said, you know, we're not going to take ourselves seriously. We're going to take our clients' business seriously, and we're going to have fun doing what we do. And we've made that commitment, and the results, you know, speak for itself. We're still here. We've grown. We're international, and we continue to just be very proud of our work and our people.
And why did y'all decide to compete in the best and brightest of Atlanta?
Well, again, it comes back to our people is absolutely our success. You know, we don't produce anything. We don't really sell anything except for this wonderful magic that comes out of people's brains and their creativity. And we want to recognize that that's why we're successful, is because of people stepping up to the plate and thinking and being smart and contributing. So we've just always been very proud of our folks.
Any surprises when those surveys went out to your employees?
I'd have to say that, you know, not surprising in that because we're in communications, everybody communicates very well.
Oh, I bet. I bet it was creative and clever and wow.
Nobody really holds back. I will tell you that. I was a little bit anxious just because it has been a couple of tough years mm-hmm. with the economy. Certainly the advertising business contracted. We've had to make some tough choices. But at the end of the day, you know, there was a real commitment to how do we do what's right for our clients as well as for employees. And I was very happy to see that there's still just a very positive feeling and love for the company.
That's wonderful. And 20 years. Are there other folks that have been there 15 plus years with you?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the things that we have found very interesting about us is that, you know, this is a very transitory industry. Mm-hmm. People will jump from one agency to another to get experience and to grow and get promoted. But we have found that we have this something unique in that people leave and come back.
Oh, wow.
We've called it the Boomerang Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually we have these wonderful boomerangs that people receive when they come back. And we don't begrudge people leaving because sometimes we can't give the opportunity to grow when somebody is ready for that. But we say, absolutely, go out there, learn, grow, and we want you to come back when you're ready.
Wow, that's great. I mean, to be welcomed back like that. The
Boomerang
Club. That's a neat way of describing it, too. So what are the things that y'all do for your employees that make it such a wonderful place to work?
They give them boomerangs.
Yeah. And they welcome them back.
Boomerangs and beer. I'm probably the only one who said that we do use beer quite extensively.
It adds to the creativity.
It's part of the benefits package.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, you know, we have a very creative environment. So to have people work in our agency and come and sit behind a computer or sit in four walls day after day, you know, it kind of sucks the creativity out of you. Mm-hmm. So we have very much a free-flowing environment. A lot of times the folks that report directly to me, we go out and we have recess. And we take a Frisbee and we go out and we just get some sunshine, clear our head, throw the Frisbee around. We've had pool tables and foosball tables. But mostly it's about just having that time to disconnect. If you need 15 minutes to go recenter yourself and rejuvenate, you know, go for it. We're not here for you to punch a time clock. If you need to work from home, if you have a sick child, you need to do that. I mean, family comes first. And we know that because we've created that environment, that we have people have that same loyalty to their clients.
Wow.
Wow, imagine that, trusting your employees.
I know. But there's a lot to be said for that. When you do trust them and allow them to work from home with all the tools we have nowadays, you can do your job from just about anywhere, really.
Absolutely. And I think it creates an environment where people feel empowered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I certainly don't want somebody keeping tabs on me 24/7 and making sure that I'm, you know, filling out an appropriate form at a certain time. We trust people to get their work done. And because when you give them that trust, most of them rise to the occasion.
That's terrific. I love that.
Yeah.
Great winners. Great
That's
insight.
It. Amazing.
Any final thoughts for our listeners from you about Fitzgerald & Company and the upcoming competition?
No, just that we continue to be proud of the agency, and we're proud of, sounds like we're in a great cast of thousands here in the room.
Yeah, you definitely are. So being a winner says a lot for your company, and having Fitzgerald & Company around Atlanta for so long, and you being there for 20 years, well, that says a lot.
Where did you start? You weren't always the chief media officer. Where did you start?
Well, I started out as a planner.
The media.
So
you've always been
in
media,
media
for
planner.
20 years in media. Wow.
Well, when I was a young child, before I got into the business, I thought I wanted to be in account management.
Okay.
And then when I got into the business,
you
I thought that's
not
for me.
Shifted gears a bit.
Too analytical.
Yeah, no doubt. And don't you have to even dress differently when you have that title?
No.
Not at Fitzgerald.
Like, not
isn't
a, no.
it like the suits and then what did they call the creative people? The creative and then the suits? Maybe not.
I think in the old days it was.
I was in Mad Men. You're confusing that with Mad Men.
No, I do show up in my Reef flip-flops and shorts when I don't have any meetings. We dress for our day. There's not a dress code.
Good for you. That sounds great. Is there a dress code here, Lee?
Yes, there is.
I bet I violate it every time I come in, too. It's all about comfort.
That's what it's about.
All about comfort. And gosh, great stories here from the companies that we've interviewed thus far. Liz, tell everybody how they can reach you if they're interested in an outstanding ad campaign and learning more about media.
Great. Well, you can certainly check out our website, which is www.fitzco.com. We also have a Twitter feed, which is at Fitzco, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter.
What about Facebook?
Oh, we got that, too. Yeah,
you got it all, right? You're the media person,
of
so you got everything.
Of course we have that.
Foursquare? Can I check in over there?
I got tired of Foursquare already.
Moved
is
on.
Foursquare still around?
Yes.
I knew that that was going to kind of come and go. I get so tired of the Foursquare thing.
I liked it, but I didn't like the BlackBerry app for it. So now I'm on the iPhone. I may give it another shot.
Yeah, I don't like people knowing where I am all the time.
Sorry.
Oh, well. I look at you because haven't they been on the show, the Foursquare people?
The Atlanta Foursquare guy.
Yeah. I never got into Foursquare, but there's a lot of media I do get into, and I think that
LinkedIn,
LinkedIn, yeah,
right?
And Twitter.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of positives to all of that, and I would imagine your job has definitely changed with
you,
all the
you gotta
different
know
types
it
of
all.
Media.
It's changing every day.
I wish I could tell you that I do know it all, but I do not. But certainly, you know, it changes every day, and we spend a good part of our day just out there surfing and looking at what's out there and trying to keep up with it and trying to keep ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
and you got to jump in and play.
Right. You just got to be a little smarter than your clients, right?
just a little. Just a little bit.
Liz, thanks so much for being with us today, and congratulations on being a winner. Definitely Atlanta's best and brightest as it comes to media. Wow. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Last but certainly not least, we have Matthew Smith from 3C Software.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about 3C Software.
3C Software. We are, as the name indicates, a software company. We provide a very niche accounting piece of software to manufacturing companies.
Oh, wow. So what kind of manufacturing companies? Give us some examples.
Big semiconductor companies, mm-hmm. chemical companies, pulp and paper producers, food processors. If you manufacture a product, right, you take raw materials and assemble them or mm-hmm. disassemble them in some cases and produce a finished product that you sell to the market, that's manufacturing, and that's where our software helps.
Wow. So does it help with the process management of it or the actual creation?
No, it's a cost accounting piece of software. So what's exciting about what we do, especially in these economic times, is we help these manufacturers really understand and manage their cost, right? So everybody's in a cost reduction mode. We've heard it talked about here this morning. And using the software and our services that go along with it, it helps our clients really understand what they're spending, right, what their costs are to produce their products. So you use that for everything from pricing to, negotiations with raw material vendors, a little mm-hmm. bit of everything, right? So it helps them become more competitive.
Now, your clients are not only in Atlanta, they're all over there?
Yeah, they're all over the world. We've done big projects in Australia, Singapore, South America, Europe. The majority of our client base is the companies are based here in North America, but they've taken us all over the place. You know, no one is a local manufacturer anymore when you're of any size, right? You're headquartered in, you know, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with all of your cutting and sewing apparel plants in China, right? So, so it's certainly has grown from a North American or U.S.-based focus to a global focus, sir.
So do you customize the software?
We do. It's actually part of our process. It's a yes and no. It's the answer, right? Okay. The way the software has been invented, which is really the key to our success, is it's highly configurable and customizable. So when we walk in the door, we have this solution that's, let's say, about 85% complete. Mm-hmm. And then it's that last 15% that's built with our expertise in cost accounting, not so much in software development, but in cost accounting, that really makes it unique for them, yet they didn't have to go through the traditional hassles of custom-developed software. And that's what makes the product so unique.
How much fun is that, too, looking at different types of manufacturing companies? I'm always fascinated by this, the process from start to finish, whether they're making a battery or a rug. I love going to manufacturing companies.
You would love the work we do, and it's really what is a big turn on for our employees, right? And part of what keeps them around is not only do you get that kind of excitement, like I've walked through manufacturing facilities of Intel, right? Mm-hmm. You walk through and watch them from raw silicone produce a finished chip, right? And then I've walked through also Smithfield Foods' ham plant, which isn't quite as glamorous or exciting, right?
But it's more delicious.
It's much more delicious. You're right.
At the end.
That's exactly right. Only at the end. So that diversity, to what I said about our employees really liking that, is not only do you get to see that, which everybody kind of is fascinated by, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then just about the time you're sick of it, you know, 3 to 6 months on engagement, then you move on to the next one, right?
Neat.
So you can imagine moving from, you know, a Miller Coors project to, you know, a Smithfield project to an Intel project. You really get to see how stuff's made, right? So if you like that, it's really exciting.
I love that. And I love that how things are made. I love that show on TV, because it walks you through all those processes. And there's a manufacturing, definitely, plant for everything out there, whether it's batteries or little springs, little brackets. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I love the show as well. Me and my boys watch it regularly. And every now and then I get to find an episode on a client of mine where I can say, hey, I've been in that plant. I've seen that process. So it's exciting.
Neat.
Yeah.
And Food Network has one now, too, where they walk you through how, like, the potato chips are made, or they'll walk you through the Lay's factory. I mean, that's fascinating.
That's
to see all of that, how much goes into from, you know, the time you take it off the shelf to when it's in its inception. I love that.
I'll tell you an interesting insight that it gives you. It makes me a tough person to shop with, because everything I look at that I pick up with, I'm thinking about how it was made, and then ultimately what it must cost, and I'm comparing that to the price. My wife hates to shop with me for that very reason. Or I get biased for our clients. So, you can't buy that brand. You have to buy this brand because they're our client, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a different insight, even as a consumer, right? Knowing what went into making it.
I bet.
And the background, having been through those plants. So it's exciting.
And analyzing, too, knowing the return on investment, or how much of the process is actually spent engaging profit in areas. I mean, I would imagine that. I mean, you look at the packaging of products sometimes, too. It's like, what are you paying for, the actual product or the packaging?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We see lots of cases where you spend, you know, 2/3 or 3/4 of the total product cost as packaging cost, right?
Wow.
So if you could deliver it to the consumer with no packaging, right, somehow, think of the cost you could cut out of it, right?
Yeah.
Another angle I wanted to mention that's exciting for what we do is in these economic times where U.S. specifically manufacturers have really struggled to be competitive, it's been real exciting to go into plants and work on a project where at the end of it, you've had a real hand in saving jobs, right? The plants become more competitive. It's a real reward for the people that work in our company and that work on those projects. And you see it from the people you work with. You go stand by them working a machine or analyzing what they're doing, and you just keep re-engineering what they're doing until they get more and more competitive at it. So it's rewarding from that standpoint, too.
Are you seeing that the higher fuel costs are bringing some manufacturing back here?
They are. Two things really are driving manufacturing back to the U.S. One is higher fuel costs, certainly, right? The closer you can make the product to the consumer, right, or to the distribution network that you're putting it into, that's one angle you can be more competitive on, right? But another thing that's happened is quality, right? We're hard-pressed to find quality of products anywhere in the world that can compete with U.S. manufactured products, right? So quality seems to have taken a step up compared to what it was a few years ago, right? So people are really much more interested in value, it seems, which is quality at the right price, than it is just the price, right?
Interesting. Even though with the economic downturn, people are still very conscious of, they want something that lasts. They don't want it to be disposable anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It's more of a value buy. Mm-hmm. I think what the economy's done for a lot of people, right, personally and in businesses, because it's people that go into the business and they feel the same way when they're at work as they do at home managing their own budget, is they just got to be smarter about what they spend, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this thing has done to us, I think, and I hope really at the end. Mm-hmm. And so you see companies doing that, and that's the value play, right?
Absolutely. So why did y'all choose to compete in the Atlanta's Best and Brightest?
Well, the me wasn't part of the y'all, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a bit nerve-wracking, right? So I'm the president and CEO of the company. So at the top, I'm saying, boy, this is a dartboard opportunity, right? But as some of the earlier winners spoke to, I had suspicions in areas of where we would do really well and where we might not do so well. Mm-hmm. And I was really pleasantly surprised. We didn't do nearly... some of the things that I think of as negatives didn't come out as negatives, right? And the things that I didn't think were such a big deal were really a big deal to the people that work for us, right? So I'm excited that we participated. I'm really excited to be, you know, in the running and a winner in it. So, it was a bit nerve-wracking for me, right, waiting on the results.
Oh, I bet. But they were obviously good because you're a winner and you're here today and you'll be there on June 20th.
I will be.
That's great. And yeah. How do you go about engaging your employees and getting them to stay?
You know, I was listening to all the other speakers, and I must admit that we're probably the worst at HR. Someone talked about being bad salespeople earlier. We're bad HR people. That's what we are, right? In fact, we don't have anyone dedicated really to HR, but what I figured out is that's really my role. I mean, I spend mm-hmm. most of my time working with all of the employees in the company. Most of whom, with the exception of, you know, 2 out of 30 people, report directly to me. Super mm-hmm. flat organization, not a lot of management layers, but high empowered people at every level. They just make decisions and do it, and they come to me when they need something, right? So not being strong in there of HR, we don't consciously do a lot, but I guess what I've learned from the survey results is that just our culture and our way of life is what really excites people. We offer them very competitive pay. And then we just treat everybody like family. I mean, you know, out of 30 people in the company, I've probably been at 12 to 15 weddings. I've been at, you know, at least 6 or 8 childbirths at the hospital, you know, to visit the next day. I mean, we're really like a family. And so many of our people have joined us right out of college mm-hmm. and have been there, you know, 10, 12 years. So in the technology software space, that's unheard of. But that's right. The kind of retention we get. And we must be doing something right, right? Even without the big everyday focus on HR, it's just the lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. I expect everyone to do the things that I do. We'll sit around and we'll try to plan a meeting, and I'll be the first one to say, hey, I can't do that. I've got a soccer game. And so, you know, you say that enough times and people listen to it, and then they start responding that way and say, hey, we're in the baseball playoffs. Can we do that mm-hmm. next week? And we say, yeah, sure. So building a work a philosophy around lifestyle is really what makes people happy. And I guess that's our HR thing if we have one.
Congratulations. You've done it. You're a winner.
Thanks.
Wonderful. Great show, Lee. Great.
Yeah, it's really inspiring to have all these people here.
I mean, it really
They're
is.
Obviously all doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing and have employees that love working with them. Right.
Matthew, do we get your website? For people to learn more about you?
If you do not, you can visit 3csoftware.com and then all of the media outlets, 3C Software, right? At 3C.
That's the number 3?
It's the numeral 3, the letter C is in Charlie, and the word software.
Great.
Wonderful. Great show.
Man.
Great show. Now, remember that for the next few weeks when I'm not here, you need to remind everybody about the event on June 20th.
Are you having people show up in your place, or is this on me?
No, we've got some exciting guests coming on
guest hosts.
Yes,
right.
In the next month. But actually, my first day back is going to be on June 20th at that event.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You're
smiling.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. To all of our listeners today, thank you so much for listening. And you'll find the link on our website in case you're curious to know more about Atlanta's best and brightest companies to work for. Click on the link and you can find out how maybe you can participate next year or come to the event on June 20th.
And that's open to the public? Anybody can go?
I believe so, yes. A great opportunity for folks to learn more about what these companies are doing and the best practices, especially if you're in the human resource space. There's always room to grow and learn from one another.
Right.
So click on that link and find out more. And until, gosh, July, but we'll have lots of great shows in the meantime. And I hope our listeners keep Lee and the group in line for me. I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful day.